Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Kemmer, usually bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. But this episode is special, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, I've sprinkled it through the con and then through my other podcasting and guesting endeavors that I am a big fan of Eastern Iowa's SCW Pro. They are the promotion that surrounds the Black and the Brave Wrestling Academy, so it features a lot of Black and Brave students, plus, batches of Midwest standouts. Draws good crowds, puts on a great family-friendly show, anywhere from weekly to once a month. Just kind of depends on what's going on and what the weather is like. But what makes this particular episode special, and why I'm bringing up SCW Pro, as I've nabbed myself a pretty darn big interview, ladies and gentlemen. I have picked up local favorite, and by local I mean camera household favorite, the Corn Boy. He is currently the SCW Pro Iowa champion at the time of this recording, and as of the time of the initial release of this here podcast. I'd really enjoyed being able to speak with him. As I said, he's one of the favorites of the household, and it's been great watching his career, kind of watching him rise through the ranks of SCW Pro over the last handful of years as he's improved in the ring, and just added so much more nuances to his character and his ring work. So sit back, get ready, get yourself an energy drink, because I'm going to sit down with the Corn Boy. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So also, be like Cass, drink Raise Energy. Hello, everyone. We're recording this live. It won't be live, but today I got a very special guest on the con. He is SCW Pro Iowa champion, local standout. He is Elote. He is the Corn Boy, Kevin Gutierrez. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Hey, how's it going? Any day above ground is a good day. That's what I always say. Another highway, another town, man. On our way to Grand Rapids for Monday Night Raw, we're going to maybe be on TV. Maybe I'll talk to Adam Pearce. We're going to see what's going on. And I'm here with Nico Klein. Nico Klein, he'll rap for us, man. Nah, he's busy. What's up? How's it going?
If he's driving, we don't want to distract him too much.
Yeah. There's a lot of thought process behind that. Yeah, but yeah. ¿Qué pasó?
You said you're on your way to Monday Night Raw, so you got yourself an extra gig. So do you know what that's going to be entailing tomorrow night yet? Or are you going to get that assignment when you get to the arena tomorrow?
A lot of catering, for sure. That's what it entails. A lot of interactions, a lot of physicals. And you never know. And, you know, they could need you for anything. I mean, I could go one-on-one with Braun Strowman. Who knows?
Well, I say, and whenever in the area, the SCW Bro guys, they get something, whether they're security or, well, get, say, Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, etc. How many times have you done extra work for WWE?
I think it's like 10 times, 10, it's my 10th time, I think, rounded around that number. But I'm just trying to figure it out, you know, crack the code and see what it takes to get a contract up in here.
That's right. Wrestling business is just as much who you know as it is, you know, the in-ring stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot about getting lucky and being ready and being always prepared. And then when it's time to go, you got to really deliver.
But we'll probably come back to this in a bit. But let's take her back. Oh, years, decade, maybe, maybe more. Well, it depends on your story. So obviously, you are on the road as a professional wrestler. Can you tell us a little bit on your road getting you into professional wrestling? Like, what started your wrestling fandom?
Pretty much, I just started out as a fan. Fell in love with the match between John Cena and Shawn Michaels, the build-up to WrestleMania 23. I thought that was cool. I wanted to do something cool for the rest of my life. And I thought it'll be pretty cool to travel and perform and earn a lot of money doing that. And I want to travel around the world, and I thought that was badass. So that's what I went for. And then ever since then, I've done everything in my entire life just to prepare for that. I did acting, I did cross country, water polo, swimming, I did communications, I got a degree in associate's arts, did radio. So it's led me down a great path. And I don't know if I answered your question, but yeah.
Where did you do radio? That's something that's, being a podcaster, a quasi hobby interest of mine.
I was at Morton College at Cicero. I was a manager for a radio station, believe it or not. But Cornboy had the brains to manage a radio, a sports director and everything, and I had my own show. So I dabbed in that so I could learn how to cut promos better, be nimble, sharp tongue.
I dabbled in radio in college, and honestly, it's only one of my favorite college experiences. So while everyone, was getting drunk or whatever, I was signing up for extra radio shows and actually worked my way into being like the radio station librarian. So I got to take like my OCD and my nerddom to like the next level in that front, in addition to like, I don't know, three or four different radio shows.
Crazy. Oh, okay. Go nuts. You would do it drinking, huh?
No, actually, that's what I did instead of drinking, because I was a nerd. I'm not gonna lie, I've made that abundantly clear throughout my social media history. So I'm drawn to that because I don't hear that terribly much, especially talking with the wrestlers. I don't hear radio popping up that much outside of maybe the lucky ones getting to do radio spot promos. So getting into the world of wrestling, where did you start? Where did you begin begin living your dream and training and whatnot?
Luckily I found Ohio Valley Wrestling, 2011 in Louisville, Kentucky. I was trained under Eugene, Nick Densmore. He had a match with Triple H at SummerSlam. I don't know how familiar you are with this character, but he was my trainer. And he taught me all the basics. And during that time, I would run into people like Jim Cornette or Ring of Honor people at the time, Al Snow, Rip Rogers.
Rip Rogers. Yeah. That's a name you don't hear a whole lot nowadays.
I mean, I love Rip Rogers. He says it how it is. People should meet Rip Rogers at least once.
I like seeing interviews with him now. Like, he's a guy that I mean maybe he does, everyone has a podcast nowadays, but like he's a guy that really should have a podcast just because of how outspoken he is. And then he's had a very respectable career both in the ring and outside of the ring as well. And I think it would be fascinating. Like, I think he could rival Cornette's, honestly, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and he's trained a lot of greats, John Cena, Batista, Lesnar, all those guys, anyone who went through OVW.
Right.
Pat McAfee.
Oh, Pat. What was like training under Nick Densmore? People really don't think about him as a trainer so much as the in-ring character.
He's actually a genius, believe it or not, despite his character, whatever he's portraying. Yeah, he's a genius. He knows his stuff. Obviously, at the time when he was telling me all that stuff, I really didn't understand. I was super green. But looking back in some of those conversations that I could remember, he's a genius. He was well-respected. Yeah, he's a great coach, too. I told him not to take it easy on me, and he sure didn't. So I have a lot of respect for him.
Hey, that doesn't wholly surprise me, again, wrestling nerd stuff, but I believe he was one of the many wrestlers who had the nickname of Mr. Wrestling. And before the Eugene thing came around, like, he was kind of like a Mr. Technical kind of guy. And then Eugene thing fell onto his lap. But yeah, because
he cracked the code. He got a job.
Yeah, right. Like I say, but before the Eugene thing in Ohio Valley Wrestling, well, during Ohio Valley Wrestling, like, he was even like getting to pop up. I don't know if he ever had a match on Nitro, but I know he was starting to kind of break into WCW Saturday Night, just as maroon tighted, generic guy number six who wrestles pretty darn good. So if he would have came like 10 years later, he'd probably be running everything now. That's okay. That was a little too snarky, but I like Nick, and I think he did the best he could with like the Eugene gimmick. I mean, this is sidebarring. Eugene gimmick, like, may not have totally aged well, but like the dude actually did amazing with it. And he's still breaking it out on the indies nowadays too. So
right.
So I mean that says something to the dedication and how he's making things work, and obviously passing on this knowledge to the next, you know, next generations of professional wrestlers.
Right. He's a great performer overall. He could wrestle and he could play a character.
You started out in Ohio Valley Wrestling. How did you end up back in Northern Illinois and, well, now Eastern Iowa?
After I finished the basics class with Densmore, I decided to go back to college, and that's when the whole the radio gimmick and all that, I decided to get some type of degree. But at over there, I was training with Gali Wrestling. I don't know how familiar you are with Luca Gali, but
accidentally got introduced to them. They, believe it or not, ran a show in Davenport last year, 2 years ago, and I got the opportunity to go see that. So I was,
oh, okay,
weird 6 degrees of separation right there.
But yeah, no, at the time, 2012, they had guys from AAA. And I was training with them for a solid year. So at the time, I found bookings with like smaller indies, shindies. And then, And then eventually I just fell out of it because I got burnt out. I was trying to juggle everything.
I mean, it's wrestling's a lot. Like, I don't know how much the average fan really knows about, you know, getting into the business, working the business, and basically being a business in and of yourself. Meanwhile, most of the time you have to, you know, get a 9-to-5 job just to pay for most people, it'll be a wrestling habit. But touching back on Gali, you said you trained with them. Who did you train with at Gali?
At the time, Discovery, when he was alive, AKA Disco. I don't know how familiar you are, but it was him and then Sky Day, who's currently still even training people.
Discovery, I'm not as familiar with, but Sky Day, very familiar with. And he's a really good, well, from what I hear, I'll rephrase that, from what I hear, he's a really good trainer. Like, he worked out with Chikara for a handful of years, training the guys in Lucha over there in Philly.
I believe it. Yeah, it's just very technical, very lucha.
So you got actual like lucha training in there as well, in addition to, we'll say, kind of the Mid-South styling of OVW. So
right.
you're getting some pretty solid building blocks to go on things. And then you've traveled over to the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. How did you kind of work into that crowd?
It was a whole new different level with psychology involved. At the time, before Black and Brave, I didn't know anything about psychology. I thought I did, but I really didn't. But at Black and Brave, that's what they really emphasize on. And I really had to up my game and figure things out just to get consistent bookings with SCW Pro. So, I mean, luckily I had prior experience and that helped tremendously. So, but yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know if I answered the question, but yeah.
Yeah, good enough. But obviously the SCW part and the Black and Brave has worked out for you because you're obviously a regular fixture with the company now. Former tag team champion, two-time, I believe?
Two-time tag team champion.
And current Iowa champion, which I was, honestly, I'm not going to lie, I was very worried about that because I couldn't attend the show last night. And so I was really worried you're going to drop the title just before coming on to the show, because that's been kind of the curse of confusion. So knock on wood, you broke the curse, my brother. You may hold that title forever.
Thank you.
But you are obviously, it's worked out for you. And you know, I've watched you for a number of years as the Corn Boy. How did the Corn Boy come into existence?
I was pretty much doing extra work, and Drew Gulak helped me create the character. He was trying to explain some wrestling stuff, inside trades. Like what makes a match, the contrast between two characters. And I created Corn Boy on the spot, and he laughed about it. And at the time I was a Black and Brave student, and I told Coach Merrick Brave about it. And he said, I would book that on my show. So I watched Nacho Libre recently at that time too. And I knew nobody was going to be as Mexican as I could be. So I thought, let me run with this. And then plus, I feel like I'm too good. I could get anything over. So I ran with the vegetable corn. So overall, the joke's on everybody because I'm running with this vegetable and it's taking me to new heights and it has given me the Iowa championship.
Hey,
So,
whatever works, works. And I mean,
exactly.
and also, I mean, if we're gonna play the psychology bit of it, I mean, you're at least right now, and as you've come up in this part of your career, you've been, you know, doing well the Corn Belt region of America. So obviously, if you're gonna pick a random vegetable, corn is the way to go.
But yeah, I created that character just to understand psychology better, and then yeah, I just had to keep running with it. But along the way, I tagged up with Thunder, and then that's when a mask came into play. And then you have certain matches with certain people, and that brings out just whatever you got to bring out in order to overcome that. So that creates more character. So I'm just going, see where it goes.
Oh, well, a good character is able to evolve over time. And obviously, those of you who have followed SCW and the Corn Boy, like, have gotten to see that firsthand. Because, I mean, when you started, you were almost just straight up a kind of a comedy character. And obviously, now, yes, you're still, you know, you're still kind of wild, you're still humorous, but, you know, you've evolved to the point where, like, you are obviously a very credible threat in any match that you happen to be in, instead of just the guy, it screams, I love corn, corn's up, and then, you know, whatever the finish happens to be. So, I mean, I, you know, so
good
that
old choke slam.
Yes, the choke slam. And unless you're listening to commentary, then it's the corn slam, because everything has to be corn related.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about the character. So you just kind of came up with it on the spot and it happened to like work out. Like,
yeah,
for those of the folks that haven't had the chance to watch you yet, how do you think he's evolved since that just on the spot I love corn thing?
Yeah, a new mask, stronger, buffer, more ethanol, longer hair, cooler attitude. More Mexican, it's just all over the place. Like, I don't, it has to be. I'm unorthodox, man. I'm a wild card. Jump on you like a groundhog, you know? Groundhog, cat, dog, corn, dog.
Whatever corn weevil that is out there.
Corn is in everything if you think about it. It's all a paradox.
Yeah. I mean, especially in America, like, it's wormed its way into, you know, all of our sweet treats and, you know, vegetable medleys and whatnot. You brought up working with Latin Thunder, and he is the wrestler that you've won both your tag team titles with as the team Thundercord. What was it like working with him?
It was cool learning from Thunder. He's so giving. We would train all the time, and afterwards he would buy me food, and I was always happy because I was very poor. But the guy would help me out, and he was trained by Harley Race. He was around those type of guys. He trained a little bit around Harley Race. Unfortunately, yeah, Harley Race is no longer with us. But yeah, that's how I. I'm sorry. No, but Thunder. He's. I have nothing but respect for him. The fact of the matter is that I retired him. He put my back against the wall, and he threatened to get rid of my gimmick, get rid of my hair, and push came to shove, and I had to retire him. But, you know, ever since then, I gave him the chance to come back, have a couple more matches, and Thunder has helped my career grow. Without Thunder, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah, he's very well respected in the area, and yeah, I've been wrestling for pretty near 20 years himself at this point. And prior to getting hooked up with him, you didn't wrestle with the mask. So how did the mask come into the equation?
One day he just bought me a mask. I guess I earned enough respect for him to get out of his way, pay a guy that made his masks, and luckily it fit, and it fit my character, and I added more Mexican heritage to my character, and that gave me more legs to earn that tag team championship with him. So it definitely helped me tremendously. He was just a nice guy who wanted to help another guy out.
I've heard nothing but good things about Thunder, though I do want to make the joke. He probably got you the mask because, according to his retirement speech, he kind of has a mask buying problem. But don't we all? I say with as I stare at my milk crate of Lucha masks staring at me in the corner. You won the tag team titles with him twice. Were those the first titles you've won in your career, or have you picked up titles prior to that?
No, those were my first that was my first title I've ever earned. That was really cool. I've been in the business for a while and I got out of it and I got back in it and I never held a championship and I'm glad it took that long. And it felt great. It felt real to me. I was happy. It was at the Beer Stoop, so it was cool. It was a great time.
I'll love and miss the beer stube. I want to pour one out for at least the Moline location. And you mentioned that you got to retire him. He put his mask on the line and against your entire the entirety of your persona,
Pretty much, yeah.
Lucha de Apuesta for the uninitiated and uninitiated. What was that like? Basically, have to put, for better terms, like your career on the line for a match.
It was cool because those are the matches I live for. Those are the matches that really change your character, being put in that situation. So I had to do nothing but deliver, and I felt like I did with him and. We sold out that place. That was the first time at Bluegrass, and together we got that place packed. And yeah, I mean, it was emotional. I did my best to give him the match that he needed, and it was an honor, and I will remember that forever. Just to do that in front of his family and with Lucha tradition, take off his mask and announce his real name and. You know, with me not being very traditional with a mask on and off, I'm like, hey, man, don't matter, man. Put it back on and have some matches at Mercado now, man. So make that money, those mask money, man. So that's it.
Yeah, I guess yeah, he did come out of retirement for at least one night at Mercado when you guys finally got to have that Mercado show. That was like postponed for like what, 6 weeks, something of the like,
But a
thanks to the weather.
good build, you
Oh yeah,
know?
and the market, well, call it the market, but yeah, the area around ring was packed. Wife and I got to see that, and now we were, I'm not sure how far away we are, but we were past a handful of the food trucks to see the return of Latin Thunder in the main event.
Yeah.
But going along with this, have you had the opportunity to take part in any further mask matches or Lucha de Apuestas?
Not at the moment right now, but you know, I mean, maybe I'll put it up on the line or against another championship. Or I don't know, if somebody wants to get rid of my hair and mask, maybe Nico Klein over here. Nah, he doesn't care.
What do you say with Nico? Are you gonna what is he gonna put up? Is he gonna put up his chains?
He got no hair. What are
Yeah,
you
he's
gonna
gonna.
put up on the line? His tag team championship. That's what he's gonna put on the line.
There we
And the
go.
chains.
And the
And
chains.
the brass knuckles that I got for him at the mall.
Oh, you're hooking him up with plunder. Oh, so it's all your fault that all of his success is your fault.
Dude, I deny everything.
I'm going to be killed the next month. That's fine. I got off
We'll
topic with it
see.
because just picking on Nico just blew my mind, and that's what I get for my professionalism right there.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, that's
He's
okay.
overwhelming.
Well, Eric hasn't already threw me under the bus with me anyway, so I'm secretly cowering in fear every time I show up in Bluegrass, just in case he figures out which guy that is wearing the MLW Confusion t-shirt, because Lord knows
Let's
I
talk about
don't.
Eric. That guy is nothing but blasphemy. He sends his goon after me last night.
Oh.
And then you got Nipple Mask right there distracting me. And they almost got the championship, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry for Wambler. I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm willing to start all feuds with this podcast. That is fine. As long as
All
I am
right.
not,
Make
as
sure he
long as,
hears it.
yeah, as long as I'm not being beaten up. Well, I'll tag him when I put it up there. Like I'll cut this snippet
Tag
and
them.
yeah, tag him in it. because we social media wise we're pretty tight, and so you know we'll broadcast it out. He'll pay attention eventually. Yeah, so no further lucha de apuesta right now. But the door is open. As a good luchador, door is always open, because if you go to like Wikipedia, like and get like some of the legendary luchadors, their lucha de, it gives their lucha de apuesta record and tells what they've put on the line, and so like all the greats have a bunch of them, and some of the best, you know, were undefeated. Looking at you, Santo. Okay, but going on to that. So you've kind of, at this point anyway, transcended the tag team division within SCW Pro, and you were currently the Iowa champion. How big of a moment was that for you?
That was a bigger moment than the tag team championship. It was my first singles title ever. And the fact that somebody like Abyss has held it, according to Merrick Brave, and guys like Nathan Frazier and Conan Lycan, they all have held it. And Merrick Brave, I think, or Dustin Moseley has held it. So the fact that I have it now, that's very important to me. And it carries a lot of weight. And I defeated Shug. I defeated Crotch. I defeated Johnny Wisdom. I'm unstoppable right now. I'm on a winning streak.
Yeah, you're
no one can stop me.
And just throwing out like the names you've mentioned, I mean, they've worked very hard to make... we'll call it remake the Iowa Championship, because I'm not familiar with his lineage pre reintroduction a handful of years ago. But just, you know, throwing out the Shug, Crotch, and Wisdom just alone, like these guys, for the uninitiated, are, you know, SCW legends and are still out there busting their behinds in the ring today for the Bluegrass Coliseum, Wildwood in Iowa City, and everywhere in between. So, like, you know, these are, you know, pretty big wins for you. Have you
Absolutely.
Won it? And then kind of like...
And Dante Leon, coming out of his Japanese tour.
Coming from Japan just to come at you and failing miserably.
Because once I sink that Mahi Straw in, brother, oh, it's over, man. It's the tightest small package ever. It's over. 1, 2, 3. Forget about it. It's finished in Nacho Libre, and now I perfected it because I've watched that movie multiple times.
Yeah. And if you believe Chris Jericho, he's the one that taught it to Bret Hart to beat.
Yeah.
Was it Bulldog that, or Bulldog he beat with Mahi Straw? Now I'm failing at my nerddom, but
it's okay.
That's a lot of history to pack into this. Old falling apart brain. Yeah, that's I can cage match it later, it'll be great. But yeah, so you know, and I mean, no offense to Shug, Crotch, etc., but Dante Leon is making a pretty big name of himself on the independent scene, obviously doing tours of Japan, junior heavyweight champion over there at one point. So, like, you know, in the realm of independent wrestling, this is a large feather in your cap, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was an honor to even wrestle him, too, and keeping up with him as best as I can.
Yeah. And also, you know, one of the many Boy Makes Good prodigal son returning, as he's a fellow Black and Brave graduate. Just throwing that out there into the ether for listener knowledge as well. Taking the show on the road, have you had the opportunity to obtain any championships outside of SCW at this point?
No, not yet, but next year is looking good.
You know, future's always so bright, you gotta wear shades for it. I know, and I'm not quite as familiar with your work over there yet, but I've seen you been doing a lot of work with Trailblazer Wrestling as well. How's that working for you?
That's going great. A lot of momentum. I defeated Warhorse. He faced Cody Rhodes at one point. To get a win over Warhorse, Slim Jim eating, hard hitting Alabama slamming dude.
Yeah. Former IWTV heavyweight champion as well. I think he might be the longest reigning champion for that belt.
Oh, okay.
So he was a champion of an entire streaming service.
Oh, okay. I've done extra work with him, man. He's great. He's great to talk to. They shit, they say.
So he's another guy who's kind of like taken his game to the next level, because I've watched him forever as well, back when he was the littlest Viking. So that will tell you how old I am. Watching him go from kind of like his gimmick was that, hey, I'm tiny and teaming with giant tag team dudes, to go to this metal god has been quite the rediscovery yeah, for him too. Yeah. But that is awesome. So, you know, that you know, definitely puts you up a bunch of ranks in my book too, to be able to beat the Warhorse. So, like, no one beats Warhorse.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place to train and have great matches with people like that. Yeah, hopefully I get more money, so we'll figure that out.
There you go. So, and they're for the they're quite a bit away, so like you're getting your miles in on that one. They're Nebraska, correct?
Yeah, definitely paying dues there. The long drive.
And now you're on your way up to, well, on your way to Michigan, or maybe you've crossed that border now. I don't know. But how many states have you had the opportunity to wrestle in?
Probably 10, mostly around the Midwest.
Right.
So whatever. So the number of states that are around the Midwest.
There you go. And which one's your favorite to work in?
Oh man, I gotta go with Iowa, man. It's the most one I do.
Well, and that's where you're right now. You're achieving your at this moment. Things are always, you know, going up. Where you're achieving your greatest fame up to this point. So, you know, obviously they're treating we are treating you well over here as well. That being said, tailoring it back to like the travel, and character work. You know, you are quite beloved around these parts. Have you had the opportunity to show an edge and maybe go Rudo in other promotions?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about that. Right now, I'm going to live in Chicago more, so I'm going to see what I could do over there. There's a bunch of new promotions wrestling around that area, especially at Berwyn's Eagles Club. So I'm going to see if I could dip my toes in that. I've done a couple of lucha promotions over there, like Wow T, pretty much new ones, but yeah, you know, I'm looking at it about right now. It's just a lot of AEW extra work and WWE extra work, and yeah, just running with this momentum, and I gotta make money, man.
Right.
I gotta support my stuff, so I gotta earn more money.
No, exactly. And I mean, big picture thing, Chicago is a travel hub, so once someone wants you out of the Midwest, you know, that's less travel. And you don't less connecting flights, honestly, as well, be up in the Chicagoland area too. So, I mean, business wise, that is always smart as well. Plus, as you said, there's a bunch of promotions up there, and you know, a lot of startups. And then you have some of the class, you know, some of the older promotions that still get eyes on them, like AAW, etc. But you brought up AEW, and we haven't touched on that yet. How many times have you worked for AEW?
Twice already. Yeah, it was a great experience. More chill backstage, not a lot of suits. It's like a super duper indie. It's really cool.
And that's gonna be my big question: is how does extra work compare between the two companies? No, I mean AEW is a little bit newer than, you know, the juggernaut that is the WWE. But basically everyone who come to found the company, you know, was, well, either kind of a primarily a Japan guy or a super indie guy themselves, looking at the Bucks and whatnot. Go back to our original point. How's catering over at AEW?
Oh, it's great, man. It's absolutely great. It goes toe-to-toe with WWE's.
Have you had any opportunities to wrestle on Dark or Elevation or, you know, whatever's left over at AEW? Yep.
No, not yet. Just security work, triple duty one night. And then I was there when Edge made his first match debut.
Oh, but, nice. So you've worked with them pretty darn recently too.
Yeah. And I thought that was a good sign, since it wasn't even a lot of us and only a select few were picked. So, I mean, I guess I'm on the radar. They see something with Korn, so we're going to run with it.
Well, and I mean, statistically, like I've seen Black and Brave guys on the AEW shows. Well, back when they were doing the internet only shows, more than I was seeing them in the WWE, with Infamy getting a shot, and JT Energy getting a shot as well. I think Heather Reckless and Conan Lycan both got shots on Dark and Elevation too. So they've been treating Black and Brave pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, everyone gets an opportunity. But yeah, it's the matter of cracking that code and seeing who could stay, right? So nobody's done it yet, other only one. So I mean, everyone's trying.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, and if you're taking the business seriously, okay, this is me projecting, but I feel, you know, the way to make the most money and get your name out there the most is either through WWE or AEW. Fantasy yeah. booking wise, though, which if the two companies offered you the exact same contract, which company would you side with?
WWE.
I kind of figured that, but sometimes people surprise me and, you know, go pick against me. Do you want to go into why you would choose WWE over AEW, or is that one you want to keep close to the chest and not burn any bridges?
No, that's just that is the dream. That's always been WWE, the goal. So it's pretty much a no-brainer. I gotta achieve it.
Right.
Yeah, at least get something.
Oh, well, there you go. And again, the old trope is like, if you wanted to be a wrestler, the dream was always WWE champion and main event WrestleMania. So, you know,
yeah,
that's, you know, still the goal for a lot of guys and gals out there. And even with all the competition, I mean, honestly, you may not, if you're looking at it from a money making perspective, I'm still excuse me, still not sure AEW's matching cash wise WWE contracts, but I don't get to read contracts, so that's just me making stuff up for likes and clicks.
Yeah,
but so going into that, looking at the future, looking at your appearances for WWE, AEW, or whatnot, where do you see Cornboy within the next 5 years?
Something different for sure. Evolved. Changed, better than where I was, for sure. But yeah, you know, I'm in the up and up. We just gotta wait to see, man.
Well, every day is a new adventure. And going on with that though, we talk about character and evolution. Will you always be the corn boy?
I don't know, man. Is grass green? We're gonna find out, man.
Well, again, it's something I don't want to say, like, not that I'm relishing the thought of losing the corn boy, but, you know, as characters evolve, we drop chunks of it, and eventually, you know, sad face, you could just be the corn boy in name only, and no one remembers why you were called the corn boy. You're just corn boy, wrestling the mask, putting on bangers against all comers, main event in those main events. But yeah, but it's been great watching your rise through the ranks of professional wrestling. I mean, I haven't been able to watch it from the beginning, but I've definitely gotten to see it firsthand the last handful of years. And I've said, off microphone, well, not really, because that's how we're talking, but I've said, like, how, you know, you, the camera household is a Cornboy household. Like, you have definitely, like, at least I can't speak for the rest of the SCW fans, obviously, but they approve of you, obviously, but, like, we are a big Cornboy house, and it's been great to just watch your rise into prominence. And we're hoping that, as long as you're within the SCW Pro family, hoping to see you get that world championship sooner than later. But, you know, we'll focus on the Iowa championship first, and then, you know, don't want to cut off, bite off more than we could chew quite yet. But yeah, so looking forward to seeing your journey, throughout the realm of professional wrestling, and catch you, we can catch you on YouTube for those of you who may not live, in the Eastern Iowa, Western Illinois area. Plus, wherever, you know, the other place you can catch Cornboy, but at least in terms of SCW Pro, you can catch him every other Tuesday, 7 o'clock at SCW Pro at home. And of course, SCW runs anywhere from one to weekly, almost times a month in the Eastern Iowa area. Before I let you get some of your plugs and stuff, I like asking this of the local guys, just to, you know, just to see how quickly I will get killed at the next show. Mind you, I am 40. I don't work out really, and I definitely am not a trained pro wrestler. But who in the SCW Pro locker room do you think I could take?
I think you could take Chuck. I think you could take Bish. I mean, not Bish. Chuck. Chuck Brewster, whatever Chuck he Brewster. Calls himself. Yeah.
Okay. So there's two different folks. So eventually, I'm gonna have to, like, just, you know,
just shove them.
Just show up and take my shot. Just go and sucker punch Chuck Brewster. It'll be like on The Simpsons when tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I'm going to go punch Lenny in the back of the head. And then, like, I'm just going to say, hey, next time I go to SCW Pro, I'm going to punch Chuck Brewster in the back of the head and just, like, randomly sucker punch him as he's at the merch table. Though the question is any of his friends or security going to do anything about it, though? That's the real question.
No, I'll smarten everyone.
There you go. If you see some ginger bald guy run up and punch Chuck Brewster, it's fine. It's no one cares. Noted. But we'll wind things down. Where can we find you on the interwebs?
Is Dot Corn Boy, DACRNBOII. On Instagram and Twitter. I think that's it. And Facebook is the same.
Oh, you're on Threads too?
That's too much.
I was just more amazed that you said Threads because I thought we moved on from that 10 minutes. Poor Threads. Everyone's forgotten about you.
Everybody jumped on that though.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hopped on there like day one. Yeah, day one I was there, right. And then like within a month I kind of stopped posting.
Collectively we were like, nah.
Yeah.
Not for us.
Though, like, I did think it got better, but it just didn't get better quick enough. But then also, I mean, to be fair, I'm also not very good at Facebook, the Facebook meta family of social media apps either, because yeah. I'm not good with Instagram. Facebook is not, it's better than the Instagram, but it's not much better than that. Follow him, Decorn Boy, on social media. Check him out at SCW Pro, Trailblazer Wrestling, anywhere in between. So, but at least if you follow those socials, you'll figure out where he's going to be soon enough. He is the Iowa heavyweight champion, and we're hoping for him being able to take all comers and retire with the belt, or at least until he decides to just let it go and move on to do the Samoa Joe thing and just put the belt on the ground and move on to bigger and better things.
Joe thing, it's perfect.
There we go. So thank you for coming on. I hope everyone got to see a little bit behind the stalks, behind the cornfield.
Stalks. I'm the stalk. I'm corn. I like corn.
MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, whereas for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon-exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast Store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.